The Writer's Toolkit is published by Nick Hearn Books. Order direct from the publisher and get 20% off this and other great titles. Visit nickhearnbooks.co.uk. This is the Writer's Toolkit podcast.
Hello and welcome to the Writer's Toolkit podcast. In this episode, I continue my exploration of playwriting collectives, this time journeying to Australia. Seven On is a collective of seven distinguished Australian playwrights who came together with a shared mission to champion and support each other and usher new writing onto Australian stages. Established in 2005, Seven On was formed by Hilary Bell, Vanessa Bates, Donna Abela, Noelle Janicheska, Ned Manning, Verity Lawton, and Catherine Zimdahl. Collectively, they boast numerous international productions and over 40 prestigious awards. While their individual styles are diverse, they're united in their dedication to the transformative power of theatre. They focus on advocating for each other, initiating performance and publishing projects together, and supporting and celebrating each other's work. Having spoken to Seven On member Hilary Bell in a previous episode, I'm delighted to sit down today with Ned Manning. Ned talks about how Seven On was formed and how their positive outlook fuels their support and collaboration. He also discusses some of the exciting projects Seven On have undertaken together.
The Writer's Toolkit Podcast with Paul Kalbergi.
Ned Manning is a versatile actor, writer, and teacher with a career spanning several decades. He's written over 30 plays, including the acclaimed Alice Dreaming, a large cast reimagining of Alice in Wonderland set in Australia, which is now celebrating its 40th production in schools across the country. In addition to his contributions to Seven On's work, Ned has written 10 short plays designed to introduce young students to Shakespeare. His debut novel, Painting the Light, was published in 2022, and his memoir, Playground Duty, has become essential reading for those interested in teaching and education. Ned has also made his mark on Australian cinema and television, notably in the cult classic Dead End Drive-In.
Coming up...
Wollongong University students were looking for something and someone suggested it, and we all wrote pieces, we put them together and the students did them, which was a fantastic experience. Like, the potential when you put all of us together was incredible.
The Writer's Toolkit Podcast.
This year, Ned celebrates an extraordinary milestone, 50 years of inspiring and educating in the classroom. And I'm delighted he's joining me on the podcast today. Hi, Ned.
Hi.
Are you good to go? Shall we dive in?
Yeah, cool.
Well, I'm really excited to welcome you to the conversation, Ned. It's been 2 years nearly since I spoke to Hilary and first learnt about Seven On, and I'm eager to get an Australian perspective on playwrights collectives.
Sure.
Maybe first, if we back up a little bit and find out about your playwriting journey before Seven On.
Yeah, sure. The first play I wrote, I'm also an actor, right? So I auditioned for the role of Beckwith years ago in Canberra, the boy in Equus, and I didn't get passed. So I was so pissed off. I went, am I allowed to swear on this? No.
Sure, absolutely. Say what you like.
I went, fuck you. I went off and wrote a play with myself in it, and it was a play called Us or Them, about schools and teachers, because I was teaching it. I'm a teacher as well. And it was a crazy thing. I didn't know what, I had no idea what I was doing. And I wrote this play that had, it was basically completely from the heart. And I'd never written a play before, but okay. I'd obviously seen a lot of plays and read a lot of plays. Anyway, we did this play at Childers Street Hall in Canberra, and it was a huge success. You know, I think it had, I can't remember how many actors, something like 12 actors, four scenes or four, you know, it was completely, you could only do it with an amateur company.
Yeah. Yeah.
And then when I moved to Sydney to pursue my acting career, I joined a company called Griffin Theatre Company, which does all Australian work. And, at that stage, they were a co-op, and they someone just sort of literally pulled it out of a drawer and went, ah, must we do this? And that was my introduction to playwriting, and what happened was it became a hit because it was written about schools and teachers and what goes on. And, of course, there's a lot of teachers out there, and the word got out about the teachers, and the thing sold out.
Wow.
And I was completely unprepared for how to deal with this. So I'd turn up for the last night and they'd go, oh, actually, we've extended another week. Oh, we've extended to a bigger theatre. I'm going, oh, wow, what does that mean? You know, I just had no...
Yeah.
And this very good friend of mine who's no longer with us, sadly, and Nick Enright, had actually read the play and gave me some kind of structural notes, let's say. He sent me this email. He said, what would I know? You've just written a hit. so that was kind of my beginning of playwriting. And I mean, I sat in the audience on the opening night and people laughed and it went well and it got good reviews and all that and travel. And I kept writing plays. And it wasn't really – I was then a company in Penrith, which is just out of Sydney. The director there, Helmut McCartis, picked up my play, Kenny's Coming Home, which is set in the western suburbs. And then I made a very interesting discovery. He did about three of my plays, and then he cast me in a play. And then he left, and I sent another play to the new director who wasn't remotely interested.
Right.
And it suddenly clicked, oh, right, it kind of depends on, and in this case, Helmut shared my sense of humour.
Right.
So he did my play. And the next person came along, didn't share it, so she didn't do my play. So I kind of then had a playwriting career that was kind of, it hasn't been sort of a linear progression. Us or Them, that first play, that got picked up and went all over the state, New South Wales, and all over the country, and was published and hugely successful. And then I kind of had another play I wrote called Milo. I got a few friends together and we did it, and that was picked up by other companies. So I've written plays that quite a few that have been, I've sort of initiated the first production.
Yeah.
And then it's got picked up.
Okay.
The other thing I did is because I'm a teacher, I tend to write, and I teach drama, so I have written plays for my students.
Yeah.
And I worked at a place called the Eora Centre in Redfern, which is a First Nations Performing Arts and Visual Arts Centre, or was. Okay. And I had a class, and I wrote a play for them about the Stolen Generation, which I didn't know anything about. And that was incredible. And we ended up doing that in Redfern with a whole lot of First Nations people in all the roles and a band. And that toured. And then, of course, nowadays, a white fella can't write that story. Mm. But I did. And I did it with their permission. In fact, what happened is we kind of workshopped it. And I said to them, I said, okay, guys, you're going to have to write the script because we're opening in 2 weeks.
Right.
And they went, really great woman said to me, oh, Ned, it's too close to the bone. We can't write it. You're going to write it. And so it was called Close to the Bone. So my trajectory as a playwright was kind of all over. You know, I suppose I had a pretty successful sort of career. The other thing I did was I worked, we've got a company called Bell Shakespeare, actually run by Hillary's father.
Yes, yeah.
And they do a thing called Actors at Work where they go out into schools and they take Shakespeare. And they do introduction to Shakespeare through a thematic thing, and they sort of improvise them. And then John said, I think we need these written, and he asked me to write them. And so I'd do something like Love's Magic, which combined Midsummer Night's Dream, Romeo and Juliet, Magic of Love, and have four actors playing actors talking. And that was fantastic. So I wrote 9 of them, and they were.
That sounds brilliant.
They toured all over the country. So my career's sort of gone, as I said, it's not a linear progression in my writing career, but yeah.
So it sounds like you were experiencing, you know, reasonable success up until that point. It wasn't that you were disillusioned with the industry or frustrated by the lack of opportunities. So what was it that inspired the creation of Seven On?
It was a kind of meeting of minds. At that point, we all had very long CVs. And, you know, I was hugely admiring of the other members.
Yeah.
I felt really honoured and privileged to be part of that group. People like Noel, Diana Cheskara, Kaz Imdahl, and all of them. I mean, it's a fantastic group.
Yeah.
I think I've always been of the opinion that, you know, if I write a play, I want it done, so I'll find some way of doing it.
Mm.
So you're right. I mean, when we formed in 2005, it came about somebody, you know, a bunch of playwrights are having a meeting. You know, there's a much bigger group, and I'm sure he'll tell you this. And growing out of that, we sort of said, oh, well, let's – this is really good because we're all talking positively about what we might do, what the future is, and so on.
Mm.
And the future of us as writers. And then we decided to convene, and there are 7 of us, and that became Seven On. So for me, it wasn't so much that I wasn't getting work done, because I was. It was about kind of like supporting each other.
Mm.
I'm the only male in Seven On. I'm the token guy, token old white guy. And they don't treat me like that at all, of course. But it has been one of the most incredible things. I mean, it's really kept me going as a playwright.
That's fantastic. That's fantastic. So just take us back to that initial meeting. How did the 7 of you come together and who instigated it?
Well, we had this meeting in a pub with, as I said, with a large group. And I think it was probably knowing Hillary.
Right.
Hillary, and you know, because she's dynamic and wonderful. And we just, I just can't remember exactly how it happened, but I know exactly where we had it because we had it in a room called the Hemingway Room in Bondi.
Oh, wow.
In a cafe, our first meeting. And the one thing we said was, we are not going to get together and complain about why our plays aren't getting done. We're not interested in being negative. We're interested in being positive about how we develop as writers. And that's how it was born. And that has been what seven, and all these years later, we still are. And we've all gone, you know, I've just written a novel and we've done different things and blah, blah, blah. But that was the solid thing that happened at that meeting.
Okay. If we look at 13P when they formed, their whole mission from the start was to produce one play by each member over 13 years, with each person taking a turn as the artistic director and then disbanding. It was very clear from the beginning, a really defined purpose. It sounds like Seven On was more about creating a support network or a community. How would you define your initial mission statement when you came together? What was the primary goal, do you think?
It was more fluid. I wouldn't say just a support network because that kind of doesn't do it justice. But we did talk about what 13, we were very, very aware of 13P.
You were? Okay, that was going to ask you, were they on your radar?
Oh, no, absolutely. And we talked about the point. But it's harder in Australia because it's a smaller industry. No, we're much more than a support network. We work together, but we all hive off and do our own projects and come together and think about what can we do next. Like the no nudity thing, which is 2013, and we pitched that to Federation Press, a publisher, and they went, oh, that'd be good for schools. And, you know, Thus Spake Zarathustra came out of the Wollongong University, that, you know, someone had a link with someone who was teaching it and suggested it. But we definitely have a manifesto. And it is about working together.
Okay.
But we go off and do different things. But we're very keen to work together.
Yeah.
But we haven't been as concrete as say, 13P.
So can you talk about the process of starting to create projects together after your formation? What did that look like?
We talked about what our general interests are. We're all very different writers with very different interests and different styles. So we talked about philosophically about the notion of playwrights, of respecting playwrights and of working together and how could we work together. And then this, the idea of seven needs came up, where we used Maslow's seven needs and literally picked out of a hat what need you were going to write.
Okay.
And we had a director at Nicholas Marchant at Griffin. He put these on before the main stage players.
Okay.
In memory, spread over 6 months or something like that. And we found that we worked together beautifully because they were stylistically completely different. And it was very successful. And then that got published by Currency, which was super cool.
Yeah, really cool. Really cool. You guys have worked on quite an impressive and varied array of projects over the years. Yeah. Could you share some of the most exciting ones you've tackled together?
Sure. So someone came up with an idea about doing Thus Spake Zarathustra, which was a task. And that Nietzsche, you know, and Wollongong University students were looking for something and someone suggested it and we all wrote pieces, we put them together and the students did them, which was a fantastic experience. Like the potential when you put all of us together was incredible because you had all these different styles. And then we wrote another one called Long Shadows.
Okay.
This was really exciting with the Sydney Theatre Company and a fantastic director called Lee Lewis. We did this big workshop and we looked at these book of lease photos from the 20s and 30s called City of Shadows. And we each wrote pieces. It was unified by this ghostly kind of criminal world. And then we did one with schools called No Nudity Weapons or Naked Flames, which was one of the rules for the kids' performances.
Right.
And again, we all wrote short plays because the drama performances are very big in schools in Australia. So there's a huge range of the kind of work that we've done. And you know, a couple have been published and a couple haven't been, and a couple have just had productions. And, yeah, it's been fantastic.
That's really great. That's really great. And I guess the more things you can get published, the more chance of others discovering the work and, in turn, more productions in the future.
Yeah, I would love Long Shadows, somebody to look at that, because that's timeless. But, you know, there's a thing in Australia and probably elsewhere that I think people go, well, you've had your go, now we'll look for the bright new thing, which I think is kind of, you know, it's fair enough. But I think if you've got all the experience of, say, Seven On.
Yeah, definitely.
It'd be crazy not to.
I'd hope so. I think with lived experience, you grow into your voice, right? Yeah. You grow into your playwriting. You grow into your craft and your practice.
Yeah, I agree. I mean, that's right. I mean, like what I said before about us or them, I mean, I had no idea what I was doing. I thought, oh, and now I know you can't probably have 17 people on stage and pay them, because if you're going to have 17 characters, you're going to be very clever with the doubling and all of that. But yeah, you do. I mean, I feel, and I think we all feel, and this has been one of the great things about Seven On, is we all feel like we're developing as writers. Like we don't look back with a nostalgic sort of, oh, remember when I did this play. We're always thinking, what's the next thing we could do? What could we do collectively? And so that's, we're on the lookout for that. And, you know, it's a few years since we've written anything together, but there's no reason why we won't again.
The conversation continues after these messages.
Hey guys, this is Paul. Just to let you know that my dark comedy, Almost the Birthday Party, is playing this October as part of Grimfest.
When a resting actor and his retired partner invite complete strangers to join a play reading group in their parlour, things take an unsettling turn. Roused in the dead of night to recall their fateful first stab at Act One of Pinter's The Birthday Party, hilarity and absurdity unfold. But as elusive pages of the script surface and figures from the troubling tableau demand an encore, Kenny and Vern's innocent quest for friendship spirals into a Pinteresque nightmare.
The show runs from the 17th to the 20th of October at the Old Red Lion Theatre, and you can find the link to tickets and more information in the show notes.
Almost the Birthday Party by Paul Kalbergi.
Welcome back to the Writer's Toolkit podcast.
Can you share some of the practical ways in which you and the members of Seven On have supported each other, Ned? How does this collaboration manifest in your day-to-day work as playwrights?
Yeah, sure. So we would, you know, get each other to dramaturg our work. So when we did work, like we had a show, a thing called Platonic, we all wrote, and each would, someone would dramaturg that work, whatever right. You wrote.
Right.
And so I think in it, and we like, and we trust each other so much that that's not a problem. Like someone goes, okay, I think you've, with me, you're repeating yourself, Ned. I think you made that point on page 7 and you're still going on page 25. And that was because we have huge respect for each other. And yeah. Because of our, we're kind of mature, that we all know about editing. We all know about somebody needing a dramaturg who knows what they're doing. But the key to this is, I think, is that we look at each other's work trying to go, what are you trying to achieve? Mm. This is what you should do to achieve that.
Yes.
Rather than, this is what I think you should write or achieve.
Yeah.
So, you know, which I think is for a playwright, I think so many of us find that you send a play or you go. I mean, I remember with one of my players, we had a workshop, very close friend of mine, an actor, very good actor. I think there should be a monologue for Mum. And I went, it's not about Mum. No monologue for Mum. But Seven On, we never had that happen.
No.
And that was fabulous, you know.
Yeah, I always think questions are infinitely more useful than answers. You know, somebody posing questions to you for you to think about and consider and arrive at the decision yourself.
Yes, and that's what we would all do for each other.
Yeah, I imagine even practical things like arranging readings must be really easy, you know, calling up one of the others and saying, hey, you know, I've got a new draft of a play. Oh, can we get together and read it?
Well, yeah, exactly right. And we did a reading. We've done readings of our work, public readings in different situations. The other thing is that we go, oh, have you heard about this? Mm. Like even talking to you, Hillary sent me a thing and said, you know, Paul, this guy's got this really interesting podcast you'd like to do. And I said, sure, I'd love to.
Yeah.
So that's another way we work with each other. And I'll go, this someone's looking for this play or a play. And we'll throw it out to each other and go, oh, that'd be a great idea, you know.
That's really good. And also when you know each other's styles, you're like, hey, this isn't right for me, but Vanessa, this is right down your alley or whatever, you know.
100%, yeah. And we've actually got the antennae out looking for that.
Yes.
You know.
When those things come into your inbox.
Yeah, exactly, exactly. And so, you know, Kath at the moment is writing a play for a school. She's been commissioned by a school. And, you know, as I said earlier, I've written, you know, quite a lot of plays for kids. Yeah. You know, in my teaching, I did one of Donna's plays and one of Hillary's plays a couple of years ago. I directed it, you know. So we kind of work with each other in all sorts of different ways. Yeah.
What would you say to anybody out there thinking of forming a collective? What would be your advice?
Good question. I think the thing that's quite extraordinary about us is that we're all really different people. Yep. But we have the same goal, and that is to create good work. Mm-hmm. And we're not competitive with each other at all. And I don't think we're competitive. We're not really interested in competition. No. We're into creating art.
Yeah,
and so you need to have that. If you're going to be a collective, it's got to be that collective is absolutely sacrosanct. It's kind of that. It's about that. So for us, it's about 7 on. And then, you know, none of us would believe that we're still going. We're meeting up and you know, we're now in different states, and I've been, you know, Australia's a big country, as you know, and, you know, and that can make it difficult, but it hasn't deterred us at all. And we had our website, I don't know if you've seen our website, and we're sort of going, well, is that redundant now? As different things are happening. We haven't quite got into Instagram or TikTok, but I think that's probably unlikely. I think the most important thing is to want to, what do you want to have a collective for?
Yeah.
Because you want to work together, because you want to work with other writers. And then in our case, the whole idea of doing, you know, this whole list of, there's quite a lot actually when I look at them, of shows together, write things together, that appeals to you, you know, that you go, pick out a Maslow's needs and write about it and see what you come up with. So it's that, but I was going to say, you know, no egos, but in a sense it is that. Mm. I mean, it is that the ambition, it isn't I'm going to be in a collective because, you know, we are an industry where everyone wants to do very well, obviously. And so, you know, the idea is you get to, you know, you're not doing this so it'll further your career individually. And we have, I said this earlier, we've all done a whole range of different, I mean, Hillary writing musicals, me writing a novel, and people writing screenplays, blah, blah, blah. So we do all this stuff that when we work together, it is absolutely our interest in the collective. And I think that probably may not have been possible when we were younger. I think that we were all this in kind of our middle of our careers, that we wanted to think, where do we go now?
Yeah.
And that when you kind of ask that question, you know, to be honest with you, the number of times I've thought, that's it, I can't, the last play I wrote, major adult play, main stage play, I was so frustrated about not getting, you know, I kind of, and then 7 on and go, oh, we've got this idea, let's do this. I would jump at any 7 on suggestion. I won't even think about it. Like if they go, we're going to do this, I'll do it. And I know from my point of view, or personally, that in those down times of thinking, I'm not going to write another play, or, you know, what's the point, or poor old me, all that, 7 on lifts you up. And it's because it's also short form. Like it's much... It's easier to write, relatively easy to write a short play when you've got something like Belonging, or you've got Thus Spake Zarathustra. I can't believe I wrote something in that. And The Long Shadows was so great because we had these photos of these, like, you know, I had these two old women and I imagine they'd just heard a gun, blah, blah, blah. And you write that, and it's a short little piece. And they were sort of, and then stylistically they were very different. And then when they're all together, they kind of meld really well.
When I first learned about 7 on through Hillary, I was so excited to hear more about your work. Just this idea of collective power is so inspiring and encouraging, I think. It really demonstrates what's possible when playwrights come together, you know, empowering each other to take control of our creative destinies and to make things happen without permission.
Yes.
It really showcases, I think, the tenacity that's needed to succeed in this industry, sometimes even more than talent.
And I think that powerless, I think you've absolutely nailed it, because it was about, and I haven't articulated this very well, but it was returning the power to us.
Yeah.
It's like going, you know, we're not relying, okay, the Sydney Theatre Company gave us this workshop, it was great to do, you know, nearly killed me trying to do it. I was combining my teaching with doing it. But anyway, we feel like we've got the power with 7 on.
Yeah.
When you submit and you're a, you know, only old play, right? And then you're submitting your play and it gets rejected or you never hear or whatever. And we all go through, every playwright in the world goes through this.
Yeah.
But we don't have that because we just go, we've submitted. We know if we're going to work on a project together, we'll do it.
Yeah.
We know that we will give each other feedback. And we know, that it's going to be done.
Yeah, on your terms.
Yeah, exactly right, on our terms. And we go, this is what we've written. And I mean, the Thus Spake Zarathustra, which I keep going back to, but that was just crazy. We went and it was this kind of down by these university students and they did it. And it was wild. It was really wild. And it was kind of the seven of us watching this thing.
Mm.
Nature, I mean, really, it doesn't get crazier than that.
Yeah, cool. But hey, a perfect example of a project that you may not have taken on had it not been for the support of your fellow playwrights, right?
Yes. I think the idea of writers supporting each other is incredibly important. And, when we used to have playwrights conferences. In fact, when I started writing, I went to a playwrights conference before I wrote I Saw Them. And I was just completely blown away by listening to writers talk about writing. And it's inspirational.
Yeah.
And what we don't have enough of in Australia, we used to have a thing called Interplay, that a whole workshop thing where young people wrote plays and got them submitted and had a playwright at a conference. But everything today comes down to money and it comes down to, it's got to have an end result. And the playwrights conferences, the early ones here, were just so great. And they were passionate, and the actors were, and everyone was passionate. And it's just, I think, I'm not looking through rose-colored glasses necessarily, but I think what we've done is maintain that passion for each other, if that makes sense.
Absolutely. Any time that playwrights can come together and support each other and kind of champion each other's work is really encouraging.
Well, it is. And to be honest with you, there have been times when we could have blown out to been 13 on, but we haven't.
Yeah.
We've just gone, look, because once we do, it starts distilling.
Yeah.
It's really special what we have, and I'm sure he'll get this. It's incredibly special, and it's in a myriad of ways that I may not express very well today, but it's about learning and being inspired. Like for me, it's been truly inspirational working with and being part of this amazing, and as we call it, a collective, which I think is very appropriate.
Yeah, undoubtedly inspiring and endlessly encouraging. So, Ned, you've talked a lot about the positivity that underpins everything Seven On was built on, really. Can you think of one actionable step that playwrights can take today to, drive progress, stay positive, and channel any creative frustrations into something good?
That's an incredible question. I think we obviously write plays for them to be done. And I think when you write a play, in the back of your mind should be, I'm going to get this done. I'm going to send it off to all the major theatre companies. And when the company rejects it, then I'm going to go and keep going and keep going and come. And in the end, I'm going to get a bunch of people together, hire a hall or hire a thing and do it. I think doing play, and that's what I've learned. I learned from Us or Them having all those actors all over the stage. And I think that's what we must do, is kind of go, I need to see this thing.
Yes.
And it doesn't matter. Like this great thing in Melbourne I talked about earlier about independent work. People, in a lounge room there's a reading of someone's play or a stage reading. I think that's the thing. And we need to reclaim control of it, basically, so that it's not just some impresario going, I'll do your play or I won't do your play. And the history of playwriting was about that. There wasn't the
there are no gatekeepers.
No. You and if you're going way back, you do it on the back of the cart in the village square. And people love that.
Yeah, that old mantra, we've got a barn, let's put on a show.
Yeah, 100%. 100%. I think that would be the one thing that I would say. I would stress that is don't give up and get the damn thing on. Somehow.
Yeah.
As you learn, when you get it on, you go, my God, how am I going to stage that thing that I've written there?
Yeah, I love that. That's brilliant advice and so encouraging, Ned. Thank you for sharing so much about your Seven On journey and giving your time so generously.
Oh, thank you, Matt. And it's been a pleasure talking to you. I hope I haven't waffled on too much.
No, not at all. It's also rich and inspiring, and I think it'll be a really useful resource to share with our community.
Fab. All right, mate.
All right. Cheers, cool. Ned. Thanks a lot.
Thanks, mate. All the best.
Take care.
The Writer's Toolkit Podcast.
A big thank you to Ned for joining the conversation. And if you're interested in exploring more of Sevenon's work, I've included links to their published anthologies in the show notes, including Sharp Darts from Currency Press and No Nudity, Weapons or Naked Flames from the Federation Press, a collection of short plays written with students and teachers in mind. Incidentally, Hilary's play Summer of Harold is enjoying a run at Edinburgh this year at the Assembly Checkpoint, so if you're up there during August, do check it out.
Next time.
Join me in the next episode when I'll be exploring finding community in playwriting. My guest is the very lovely Kimberly Andrews from London Playwrights, a vital resource for playwrights which has arguably grown from humble beginnings as a submission blog to a virtual community in its own right.
Playwriting can be a really lonely process. You know, it's so good to hear what other writers are doing and how they're facing some of the same challenges you are. So I think if you've got that community behind you, it can really spur you on and really help you to continue writing.
I challenged each of us to bring 10 ideas to the table, so there's going to be plenty to take away. Don't forget to subscribe to the Writer's Toolkit podcast on your favourite platform, and please leave a review wherever you're listening if you enjoyed the episode. Thanks for joining me this time, and until next time, stay inspired.
Thanks for tuning in to this episode of the Writer's Toolkit podcast. Be sure to subscribe wherever you get your podcasts. If you enjoyed this episode, we'd love for you to leave a review and share the link with your friends. This podcast is fueled by Ko-fi. If you'd like to support the show, you'll find the Buy Me a Ko-fi link in the show notes.